Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and Tom Brady can suck it. And with me, I have...
I'm Alex, here to remind you that this is, in fact, a Tide ad.
And...
I'm Mark, and... Well, how about them Eagles, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not a football guy at all. But much like the rest of America, I enjoy the idea of Tom Brady failing at something.
Yes. And one way or another, Philadelphia was going to burn down, so may as well burn it with a win.
As they play McMill.
How much you want to bet Danny DeVito was in the rioters?
Well, he was actually at the stadium, so, you know.
Yeah. I think I spell a future is always funny episode about the Super Bowl. It could happen.
Oh, by the way, apparently Glenn Howerton has confirmed that he will be featured in the next season in some capacity, so thank God. Yeah. Also, apparently I hear his new show is pretty good.
Yeah.
Haven't gotten a chance to watch it, though. All right, so, episode 67. Two more kids. So, how y'all been doing, besides, you know, Super Bowl shit, like, outside of that?
Well, I'll be honest, I've had a terrible week. My sleep pattern has been up and down, which has left me completely wrecked in the head. And I found out I'm not going to have a job soon.
Ow.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Apparently, the higher-ups where I work at decided, you know, I don't think we need anybody working in that position and overnight anymore, so we're just going to cut them loose. So yeah, in a couple of weeks, I will be unemployed. Isn't that fucking fantastic?
Wait, what the fuck kind of hotel would think cutting the overnight staff is a good idea?
A hotel that doesn't make any money. I could go on, but that's a different time, different place.
Yeah, this sounds like something you would tell, like, one of those blogs about, like, I don't know, like, shitty, you know, fucking work conditions or whatever.
Oh, the stuff I know, it's crazy, but whatever. I also got my tax return today, and you want to know how much it was for?
Not a lot.
$9.
What?
Yeah, apparently when you have more taken out for Social Security and Medicare and not federal income tax, you don't get a whole lot back.
Well, fuck.
Yeah.
Damn.
Last year, I used my tax return to buy a Nintendo Switch and Zelda. This year, maybe I can buy a cup of coffee and some cheap takeout lunch.
You could buy, like, a medium-sized combo at Wendy's with that kind of money.
Yeah. It's like in the Kendrick Lamar song. I lost my train of thought, but you know what? Here's what I have to say. God fucking damn bless America, huh?
I can tell you're still very excited about that thing that happened.
Along with me getting completely fucked out of money, but yeah, whatever. America, God bless it if it's good to you.
Mark, what about you?
Let's see. Well, the usual, let's see. Did work. I do my taxes. Write some shit. And I actually saw that new Netflix movie, Cloverfield, The Paradox.
Oh yeah. Can we just talk about that for a minute? Shadow dropping after the goddamn Super Bowl. Why?
Only Netflix.
It's like, I love Cloverfield, but that kind of release strategy doesn't inspire a whole lot of confidence. And keep in mind, I'm aware that 10 Cloverfield Lane was, like, announced proper, like, 2 months prior to its theatrical release. It's like, for all we know, Cloverfield 4 could already be out by the time this podcast is finished recording. Not when it's posted, when it's finished recording. It'll be available in your minds.
I think by the time Cloverfield 4 will be released, it'll be ejected on our minds via... It'll be streamed to our eyes. Or anally, I don't know.
Yeah. Ooh! Let's not think about that last one.
No. Well, I'm pretty sure more people watch This Is Us than that Cloverfield movie, or as I like to call it, television for people who don't like television.
That's one way of putting it.
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
Anyway, as for me, not much. Work, school, have not done taxes yet, but I probably should. Mostly playing a lot of Breath of the Wild. In fact, earlier today, I finally beat the last of the Divine Beasts. And now I have the Master Sword, lots of hearts and shit, plenty of armor and gear and critters and stuff that I still gotta figure out what the fuck I'm gonna do with. So I should probably kill Ganon or something. Then again, I'm having too much fun exploring, you know, for shrines whose names are, like, bad puns. Isn't that right? Dakota. That's actually a shrine name in the game. Now I'm just waiting for the one that says Thai Dad. What, nothing? God, I give you people gold and you give me Jack.
That was not very strung together. Not like how I did it. You gotta build, then follow up.
Oh, come on. That sounds like a very conventional style of comedy. I prefer my comedy to be broken as hell and nonsensical, free form, you know, free association. Nothing associates with each other. It's all just a barrage of ranch.
Oh, you mean Pop Team Epic. Yeah.
Exactly. But anyway, I suppose it's all the formality. So let's move on to the song discussion. You know, every week we discuss whatever new songs came out in the past week. There's a little bit of catch up here, a little bit of stuff from like a couple weeks ago, you know, that we were covering the Grammys. So, links to a playlist of the shit will be down in the description if you want to follow along. So, why don't we throw it over to Mark to get things started over here?
Now you remember that? You remember on my albums of 2017 last year, I add Chloe Chris's everything. Shit, what's the album called again? Being You is great. I wish I was you more often. Well, this year you got another project on the works, teaming up with other MC Jean Grey with their album Everything's Fine.
That probably means got, everything's not fine.
And it got a new single out called Oh Shh. And of course, since we're a teen pop epic and mostly everything Eric Andre related, guess who's also featured on the song? None other than, yep, none of the Hannibal Burgers.
Oh yeah, Hannibal Burgers, man.
So this is the song. This is the song. You get some group of Dutch on it with this way to say oh shit like you hear every they're saying oh shit like you hear that guy from the wire say shit like every basically every black person that says shit, you know, way cool. Get it?
I get it.
For the song itself, I dig the MC's part. I dig Curly Chris, dig Jean Grey a lot. I also did Hannibal Buress a lot on this track too. Like, I know it's like he often do sometimes rapping most people's stuff. Mainly on the Mellow Music Group people, because I know he sometimes rap with Curly Chris and Mike Over My Eagle before. But this track is pretty ace. It's pretty good.
Sadly, I didn't get a chance to listen to this one, but the next one, on the other hand, is probably the one I listened to the most this week.
Ooh.
So, going back to another one of Mark's top favorites of last year, Mr. IDK. Now, I don't know if he's got something else possibly cooking for 2018, but he did drop a little bit of a neat surprise the past week, a collab track with this rapper Denzel Curry, who I've heard of, but I've never got around to their shit. It's a song called No Wave, and fucking hype.
Man, this shit is fucking hype. The IDK bought the shit, and Denzel Curry. I knew this guy was gonna be a good rapper. This dude got a fucking good flow, and he sounds so fucking fantastic on this.
God, you can just feel, like, the force and impact of, like, just every word. Like, I dare you to listen to this and then try to tell me this that their flows are just, like, not the most hype shit ever. Because, goddamn, man. I almost wanted to throw this out of my car and just see how loud it would fucking, like, go through the speakers and shit.
But yeah, man, nice to hear IDK again. And Denzel Curry as well, too. Oh, and by the way, Denzel Curry, another Florida rapper we should rep for. That's good.
Oh, shit, for real? Goddamn.
Yeah, from Florida, you know that?
I did not know that. Like I said, I never got around to his shit, so. All right. So, we already covered some hype stuff. Now to delve into some not-so-hype stuff. Mm-hmm. The sceney weenies are probably gonna, you know, have their ears perk up the second I mention the name Bless the Fall, which is an easier name to remember than Alexis on Fire.
The what?
Yeah, that pretty much exactly. 2011 was pretty much the last time I ever thought about this band, but apparently they're still around. I think they had two albums released between then and now. But apparently they're dropping a new record called Hard Feelings on March 23rd. Their debut for Rise Records, which... Wait, they weren't already on Rise Records? I don't fucking care.
Apparently not.
So yeah, we got this here song called Melodramatic, and oh boy, are there like DB double bass drums with those echoey, pleasant-sounding guitar melodies? Are there those like chugged chords and shit? Are there the pretty vocals that only really allow like 20 seconds of heaviness during a breakdown at some point? Oh, check, and check-a-rooney. Only thing I can really say is notable is at least the breakdown has more than one chord, I guess? I got nothing else here.
Yeah. You're going to hear me say this a lot because this is pretty much the table scraps of the whole fuck you, it's January type of releases. It's fine. It's perfectly average metalcore. And the best thing I can say about this, it's more pop punk than anything Fall Out Boy has done in the past 10 years.
That is true. So you should they should put that as like the quote like on the actual CD packaging, like more pop punk than Fall Out Boy. Alex from Surreal Resolution.
We're giving you ideas, Rise Records. You know, let's work out a deal.
And moving on from that, you know, I still have very vivid memories of my Guitar Hero fanboy days. That being said, even though there was, like, one song there that, like, I feel like I should have liked but probably didn't. And that was from this band called The Sword. You know, one of those more, I guess, current day kind of stoner rock bands, you know, that worship at the altar of Black Sabbath and everything. But, you know, obviously my taste has developed since then and I've developed, you know, interest in some of this kind of stuff, so I guess let's see what happens when I try to revisit this shit. So they're dropping a new record March 23rd, same day as Bless the Fall, called A Used Future, and they've released the lead single Deadly Nightshade, no relation to the NES game. And yeah, this song, it's okay. The thing is, the song feels weirdly empty. Like, sure, the guitar production is like really fuzzy and it tries to fill in that low end, but it doesn't feel like it's as saturated as you would expect from something like Electric Wizard and shit. And the actual riff itself is weirdly sparse on, like, actual notes and chords. In fact, the only really interesting part is this kind of little bass solo-ish thing. And that's only because at least the bass kind of has some body to it. And the song is super repetitive. It's like, and you notice more so because it's only, like, 3 minutes. Like, not even, like, less than 3 minutes. If it was a song that was like 7 or 8 minutes, then repetition would be fine because you get kind of in that delirious stoner headspace. But when it's this short, like, this is just whatever.
Yeah. It has a fine groove to it. But the one thing that came to my head listening to this is, wow, this sounds a lot like what Greta Van Fleet would sound like if they weren't all in on the whole Led Zeppelin shtick.
I suppose.
And I just gotta mention this because we didn't talk about it last time. I finally heard a Greta Van Fleet song on the radio. Holy shit, they are Led Zeppelin!
Told you!
Like, and what's crazy about that to me is I had gone back to listen to our Grammy prediction show before, you know, doing the whole Grammy stuff last week. I mentioned, you know, Where Spit Out the Bone when we were talking about the rock category. That just became a single, like, maybe a couple months ago. So not only will that put it in contention for next year's show, but how the hell is it charting so low right now? Like, I'm looking at Billboard's rock chart right now. Greta Van Fleet is at number 5. Spit Out the Bone is at number 8.
You know,
what the fuck?
People never reward the songs that should be rewarded.
No, instead we have Royal Blood, Caesar, and that Papa Roach song that's now the theme for Monday Night Raw at the top 3.
Man, I am so glad I don't watch Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. You don't get to endure the pain that John and I have to go through.
But anyway, let's move on from that tangent. Once again, revisiting the king of partying, Andrew WK.
Woo!
We have Ever Again, the second single from his upcoming comeback album, You're Not Alone, coming out first week of March. So, you know, at least we have something to look forward to in March. This one is a little bit more mid-tempo than Music Is Worth Living For. You know, it's kind of got like that just pounding, like just constantly hitting on the snare on like every quarter note, basically kind of drum beat. There's lots of these like triumphant sounding synths in there. In fact, when you listen to that, and there's also like these whoa kind of vocals in there, it almost kind of feels like a Man with a Mission kind of track. And you know, I kind of like in the verses where it's kind of like light to, you know, build suspense for like the triumphantness. When you hear the interplay between the keys, the backup singers and the guitar chords, it kind of feels like, you know, one of those things where like they compose the complete melody, they kind of split the chunks among the different instruments, so it kind of has an interesting like flow to it, I suppose. I believe the proper musical term is hocket, but yeah, maybe not as hype as Music Is Worth Living For, but it still has that feel good quality to it, and I'm still looking forward to the album.
Mm-hmm. If anything, this video makes me want to see this guy live, and that won't happen because the only time he'll be in this area is at Carolina Rebellion, and I can afford that for a damn reason.
Oh man, you're missing out. I've seen Andrew WK live before. That dude's fucking, that shit's fucking fun.
Mm-hmm. Now I'll never get to see the taco guitar. Or the pizza guitar.
Pizza guitars.
A lot of food instruments.
Yeah, pretty cool.
So, anyway, moving on from that to this next song here. So, we're talking David Byrne here. You know, he's been in the music game for a while, perhaps most famous as the frontman of Talking Heads. You know, doing a lot of his own solo stuff in the meantime. He announced a new solo album coming out March 9th called American Utopia, which is actually his first proper solo record in 14 years, since 2004. He's done the only stuff he's done in the meantime being like collaborative albums with the likes of like Brian Eno and Saint Vincent. So we have one of the songs from the album, This Is That, and this one features production from the man who invented the concept of aesthetic. Mr. 106. Never.
Okay. This is an interesting listen to go to this. Although I will say, listen to this song is like, okay, I sort of sense the OPN thing influence here, although not as much. I mean, the only thing I say is it's not the usual OPN production I hear. It's pretty much more towards David Byrne's lane, as far as I know.
Yeah, it's kind of more anonymous. Like, you can kind of feel a clear, like, beat as opposed to it just kind of being like floaty and freeform.
Yeah.
And the synth pattern's more like repetitive. There's a more clear outline to like what he's doing.
Yeah. I wish to find some on YouTube, but I have to listen to it because I'm about to find it since it was part of some BBC radio program at the, well, at least I get the timestamp for it, but this song is, I'm guessing it's, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. I mean, it's not what you expect for, you know, with production from OPM, but I take what I can get.
But now we can move on to, obviously, we have two weeks from when we're recording this until Black Panther.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
And finally, I'll have something to see in the movies.
And also, the checklist is out.
Oh, yeah. Looks good.
I like what I'm seeing here. They got Handsome Peck on the track.
It's like everyone from Top Dog Entertainment went, yeah, let's make this the best soundtrack ever. Maybe get a couple Grammys, maybe an Oscar.
That would be pretty sweet. But obviously that soundtrack, you can get that before the movie. That comes out this Friday.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can. Well, at least digitally.
I mean, that is true.
And the album, physical comes out saying there's a movie. But yeah, anyway, we got another single from the soundtrack. He has another Kendrick song with another collaboration he had in the past, The Weeknd, with this song, Pray For Me. And I gotta say for the production, I will say it feels like more low key, but not so dramatic like All the Stars, but more like it got sort of a low key action vibe from it.
Yeah, this definitely sounds like a Weeknd track. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, pretty much sound like a Weeknd track because he starts it off with the whole "Don't pray for me, don't pray," all that shit, and then Kendrick does his thing, and it's like, okay, I will say, it's a single that's I'm fine with. I mean, all the singles been released are somewhat flawed in their way. They are somewhat flawed, but I can listen to them. It's like, if this one is like, okay, this does sound like this on something you will play in maybe a action scene that's starting out, like the beginning of it until you get to something bigger and better on the next song. But this song is pretty all right.
Yeah, Kendrick, I like his performance on it. I think he sounds really good, working against the beat, because it kind of has like these sort of loud reverberating bass things, I guess you would call them, like these synths that kind of just pop in and out of the mix.
Doom, ba-doom, doom, doom, play like that shit.
Straight up. Anyway, now it's Adult Swim singles catch-up time. This time, we actually have three songs to work our way through. Last week, the week before, and a surprise drop today. But let's start at the top. So, the song we missed during the Grammys recap episode came from an electronic artist named The Field, who, if I recall correctly, was featured on the 2011 program. I know it's either 2011 or 2012 they were on. But they contributed a new song called Staircase. And this is mostly one of those very lengthy sort of electronic pieces that just kind of loops and drones on forever. There's a lot of those shimmering, swelling synths. There's kind of that staccato that staccato bass melody that kind of moves up and down along the melodic line. There's kind of the sound of a woman's voice that punctuates the beat in these groupings of two. And there's not a lot of switch ups. There's a part or two where the percussion drops out. There's one part where that staccato thing becomes straight 16th notes, but it pretty much loops out for 7 minutes, 7-8 minutes, I think. Again, it works pretty well as just a mellow zone out piece.
Yeah, and always just said that's the reason why I really, really love this track. I really listen to this. I really love being mellow out to this song. I really love the production on it. I was really into this track when I first listened to the first 400 times. I don't know. I just fucking love it.
So yeah, that's it for that. Now to the last week's single. from a producer and singer named Julia Holter. Don't know much about this person. We do know the song here, So Humble the Afternoon. This one is one that, again, kind of, like, loops its parts a bit. The synths are very, like, you know, swirling and layered, but very straightforward with kind of a deliberate slow pacing. There's touches of, like, twangy guitars in there. Her vocals, you know, are very ethereal, reverb heavy, and they sound, like, nice and pretty. And there is kind of this beat switch up at about, I think, 3 minutes where, like, the synths just kind of drone without any percussion behind it. I really like Julia Holter's voice, though. I think it, like, one of those ones that works really well against this kind of ambient stuff. And, yeah, that's about it.
I'm good with this track. It took me two listens to me to get into it. I feel like I have my TV on mute, and I feel like, am I from the TV or no, it's from my play. It was like, this song is pretty alright. I'm thinking some of it. So yeah. And now I'm a step back.
Now I have to get to today's and
tagging in with this one.
Man, yeah. I thought we had more time.
Apparently not.
So, yeah, during the Super Bowl shenanigans, Alex tagged me in a tweet, and I had to check out what the hell it was. And it was, it said, tomorrow. And then an image that said, Code Orange plus Adult Swim. And I'm like, oh, man. Already? Jeez, this thing is flowing fast. Seems like just yesterday that I was dreading having to do this song, but yeah, of course the lads in Code Orange, who, as you know, were the only metal band that mattered in 2017, apparently, dropped a new single, you know, with Adult Swim called Only One Way, which according to them is apparently part of some broader strategy where they kind of want to do, like, smaller song releases and EP releases, so that way they're constantly putting content out there, which... Oh, God, I'm not looking forward to the deluge of Code Orange content. But, yeah, this song just right off the gate punches you in the ears with, like, these warbly synths and busted electronic, you know, garbled noise. And you kind of get this grungy guitar intro before the drums fucking pound away. And, you know, going with that and these thick industrial guitar chords just chugging mechanically and monotonously all industrial. With that occasional, like, dun dun dun, like, whatever you call that, like, that squeal chord thing, whatever it is, I don't know what the proper term is.
A pinch harmonic?
Not a pinch harmonic. Like, it's an, you actually play it like a chord when you, like, bend the string, like, or something. You know the part in the riff. But, like, as the song goes on, the industrial stuff gets more pronounced and it squeaks out more awkwardly. There's even this fucking annoying squealy keyboards whenever it does, like, that squealy chord thing. And there's kind of, like, this dark, floaty, ambient bridge in the middle where, like... But, of course, to make sure you're paying attention, it fucking assaults you with, like, fucking, you know, just in the ear with, like, all the industrial noise. You get about, like, 3/4 of the way through, and then, like, the fucking other vocalist, the non-female one, Jamie, I think, he enters, and everything, the sounds all gravelly and butt-rocky, and I just, again, this is, like, there are parts here that might be okay individually, and I'm not against, like, just throwing shit at the wall to see what sticks, but the way they cram all this together, it's not, like, some beautiful, harmonious hybrid of disparate elements. It's more like the musical equivalent of Homer Simpson trying to put together Le Grill. What the hell is that?
Okay, I'll just say that, no, well, first off, your pain gives me life, thank you.
Fuck you.
But, in all seriousness, I'm still very unfamiliar with Code Orange. They haven't really been a band that struck out to me as something that I need to see, like everyone is saying, you know, outside of a couple videos and maybe a performance or two. That's all I've always seen, so... Like before, I mean, this song is fine. It's there. It's just nothing to go totally nuts over.
But Alex, the think pieces, the album of the year list, this man matters apparently. Meanwhile, yeah. I'll just be sitting here waiting patiently for when Adult Swim makes up for this by hooking us up with a Power Trip song.
Or Paul Bearer, you know, sometime in the future.
It's coming soon. Please be next week. moving on from that to, we're moving on from annoying to just plain bland. So Stone Temple Pilots, when we last saw them, hooked up with the new singer Jeff Gudd, who was a contestant on some singing show, and that's about all I remember. But they announced a new record, finally, a self-titled album coming out March 16th. And we have the new single Roll Me Under, and I'm going to recite my notes here pretty much exactly. Okay, then. This is a song. There are riffs. There is a bass line. The drums use, like, rolls on the snare and some ghost notes. There are vocals that are sung in a manner reminiscent of typical hard rock. This is a song that exists and takes up space on the internet. There is also a solo. The guitar kind.
Yeah, it's... End. It's perfectly average and okay. Yeah, whatever. Also worth noting, Stone Temple Pilots have a single on the Billboard rock charts right now. That's ranked number 7. Right above Spit Out the Bone. What the fuck is wrong with you people?
Taste? What's that?
Yeah, because clearly we have to give the high spots to 10 Years and Pop Evil.
Why can't we be in charge of these charts? Expose people to some taste?
Because that's not what makes the money.
Alright. But anyway, moving on. This is a group we're talking about that I have a personal soft spot for, and I need something to tie me over until, our girl Carly Rae Jepsen drops her next masterpiece on us. The group Churches, spelled with V, because why spell your name with proper letters in a proper context? Isn't that right, Pavurus, or All the Vase?
Or Six Lack.
That too. But yeah, Churches, their last album, their second one, Every Eye Open, was like 3 years ago, and I really liked their first record. Second one kind of felt like it was treading water a bit, but not too bad. But they've got another one. We don't know the details yet. It's coming out sometime soon. All we know is that apparently it's produced, or at least this song at least, called Get Out, is produced by Greg Kurstin, who I believe won a Grammy last week.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, I think Best Producer or something, some weird specification.
Of the Year Non-Classical?
Yeah, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so with this song, Get Out, you know, it opens right out of the gate with, like, this very bouncy, buzzing synth melody and, you know, those really cheap 808 drums. The steady groove throughout, it's kind of a just fun, pleasant piece to listen to. The vocals, you know, the lyrics are the usual sort of, like, emotional melodrama stuff that... Some of it makes sense, some of it doesn't, but, you know, it's what you expect. They're fun and well-performed. Again, I feel like maybe this is just kind of jogging in place, maybe the bigger picture will be better, but for what it is, it's a fun enough song that reminds me why I like Churches.
I have nothing to say other than, I'm not into synth pop, at all. I'm sorry, I have nothing.
Well, okay, you don't have to be rude. I'm not telling you you have to be. Jeez.
So this is not about the sunken place?
Wait, is it? I don't know. I'm really bad at interpreting lyrics on stuff like this, so it very well could be.
I'll be the Get Out reference.
That reminds me. I need to set aside time to marathon all the fucking Oscar nominees. I'm dreading getting to Boss Baby.
Why couldn't it have been a silent voice? What the fuck is wrong with you, Hollywood?
Hey, don't forget to nominate Ferdinand too. Get them for that shit too.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you let everyone vote and not just the people who pretend to give a shit about animation.
Well, at the very least, that should be an easy watch since you can't really see Ferdinand.
Yeah, I'm not fucking with Ferdinand. Fuck that. Oh.
Now you get it. Now you get it. Hilarious and original.
But let's move on to the last song this week, which, much like the Code Orange one, was breaking this morning, and I had to work it in here, because why can't... I feel like this encapsulates the week of this week perfectly. There was only, like, one or two standouts for me, three tops, but the rest of it was just mediocrity. So, Ray Shremmerd. As Mark joked in the Grammys recap, they're working on a triple album. Three discs. One for Sway Lee, one for Slim JX Mummy, and then one that's the actual Ray Shremmerd with the silent H, because they don't know how language works.
And that was now called Shrim, or SR3MM. Damn it.
It's like Fant 4 Stick all over again.
I have to ask this. Shremmerd, Migos, Chris Brown, stop with the long albums. You are not a progressive metal band.
And you're not Swans either. Or Aphex Twin. Stop bloating your records and just attaching the one or two hit singles so you can game the streaming metrics. But whatever, we have to deal with this song here called Teed Up. T apostrophe D up. Fucking literacy. And, the beat definitely sounds like a Ray Shremmerd track. It's super moody and low-key, man. It sounds intense when really it sounds like it's just putting it in a fucking sleeve. And, you know, the lyrics are there, something like that. You know, all I really have in my notes here is like, okay, there's a point in the first verse where Sway Lee, I think his opening line is like, I'm so fresh, I need a fucking lint brush. Also, apparently he has like 5 chains. So you better look out, 2 Chainz. You got some competition. Bad chick blushing, giddy up or something. In the second verse, Slim Jimmy's like, give me room like a nigga obese. And of course, you think that's bad. In the third verse, Sway Lee's like, I'm in the end zone, still a no flex. So you're literally fucking flexing in the goddamn song already. What the fuck are you talking about still? How the fuck are you still on this shit? Do you not understand the concept of what it means to flex and not to flex? Do I need to show you the Rap Critic video and fucking Clockwork Orange style you in that shit?
Let's see. Them talking about flexing, check. Them talking about other shit, check. Beat produced by Fun fact, produced by Metro Boomin, Sway Lee, and some other nigga named Daryl Jackson. I don't know who else. Which, speaking of which, wow, Metro Boomin, you really need to take a break or something.
I have to ask, how much more does Metro Boomin want anyway?
I don't know. He just wants an undefined amount of more.
maybe.
Don't ask me to make sense of his needs.
I can't speak.
Yeah. Unless we have any more salt here, I think we're done.
I got nothing. This is just
I ain't bland got nothing
else. And average. That is the theme of this week. Well, except for Kendrick Lamar, because Kendrick Lamar is God.
Yeah. And, of course, IDK, because that was some hype shit. But
And also, Crowley and Apple Burris, too.
That too.
Mm-hmm. Animal Burris.
FWK. You know, this week was pretty good. It was just the bland stuff really took over.
Sticks to you.
At least we got some good riff material on this, but, man, I tell you. Okay, I think so far, it's been a week since Culture 2 came out, and I haven't seen any Migos memes. So maybe we won't get any Ray Shremmerd memes. Please? But yeah, that concludes the new song discussion, so we're going to take a little break, but stay tuned, because we got some news topics coming up. So see you in like half a minute. we're back. So, you know, during our formalities, we brought up the Cloverfield Paradox on Netflix. So let's delve into the topic of Netflix original movies. Now, last year saw developments that included a couple of films that got some good reception, like OK Ya, I heard was really good. But then again, the year also ended with Will Smith right. in a movie that was a metaphor for racism against orcs.
Yeah, oh, here's my quick opinion on Bright. It sucked, the end.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Don't give Max Landis money.
John Landis, I gotta tell you, like, I love your work, but Max Landis may be the worst thing you've ever made. But we got some more news of an upcoming Netflix production. They're going to be releasing the upcoming film from film directing icon Martin Scorsese, a biographical crime drama, of course, called The Irishman, adapted from a book called I Heard You Paint Houses, Frank the Irishman Sheeran and the Inside Story of the Mafia, the Teamsters, and the Final Ride of Jimmy Hoffa. As that very long book name implies, it follows...
It's like a Venetian Snares album.
Pretty much. This is how Italians listen to Venetian Snares. But yeah, the movie will follow the aforementioned Frank Sheeran, a mobster who, you know, carried out a lot of hits, including assassinating the infamous mobster Jimmy Hoffa. Now, as far as the cast for this thing, we do know one very interesting name. We don't know what role he's playing, but this will be perhaps the feature film debut of one Action Bronson. Which, looking at him with Scorsese and whoever the other guy is in this Instagram photo, I think that's Al Pacino?
No, that's De Niro, Scorsese, and...
Yeah, De Niro. I gotta say, he definitely looks like he would be in a fucking Scorsese movie. So this is just basically the inevitable.
In other words, he's been in something that might be good rather than, well, Dirty Grandpa.
Yeah, well, here's the thing you gotta remember here. We have Scorsese in the director's chair. We have an actual talent here. It's not like we got fucking the guy whose only other big credits include Suicide Squad. The Academy Award winner for Best Makeup Effects, even though it should have gone to Star Trek Beyond. But yeah, so, of course, Martin Scorsese, Action Bronson, and naturally, the movie will also feature Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, and Joe Pesci, because who the fuck else are you going to get to star in a movie like this? But yeah, I mean, I'll admit I kind of had trepidation towards Scorsese movies, like, when I was a stupid kid and didn't know any better, but I've gotten a taste for some of them. I like his stuff. I'm interested to see where this goes, even if the premise kind of sounds like it's the usual Scorsese shtick. Sadly, I bet there won't be any dwarf tossing. But I'm curious to see what Mr. Bam Bam Baklava ends up doing in the movie, whether it's a minor thing or a major role. It's probably going to be a fun performance.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that goes.
But moving on to a festival announcement. The first of the many... Actually, I think it's just like two or three at this point, but, you know, the East Coast iteration of the hip-hop festival known as Rolling Loud, taking place May 11th through the 13th at the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens, Florida. So apparently this is shifting away from Bayfront Park, where it's been hosted the past couple years. You know, really cool, like, kind of like, it's a stadium, but it's like an outdoor thing. I saw Judas Priest there in high school. They were great. But yeah, let's look at this lineup, you know. So, the May 11th lineup. Oh boy, it starts off platinum with no features. J. Cole, son.
All the people gonna say, look, man, this real hip hop. Look at that shit. Like, they're gonna be all the motherfuckers that be saying that shit in there.
These are the same people who think, like, Lupe Fiasco is a good songwriter. He's not. But anyway, so we got that meme out of the way, and, oh, look, we have Mr. Push Me to the Edge, All My Friends Are Dead, Lil Uzi Vert. There's fucking Nerd, Young Thug, Metro Boomin, what's some more, nigga? He's not here as far as I know. Tory Lanez, Russ, The Diplomats, ASAP Ferg, Playboy Cardi, Young Dolph, Currency, Kaz Kan from Neo Yokio, You don't deserve this big Toblerone. Oh, hey, Big Crit. I heard good things about his last album.
Yeah.
Anything else in here? Just a lot of weird names like Juvenile, Dreezy, Baz, Casanova, Cause.
Don't worry. The memes will keep coming.
And also, I want to put this up. Yeah, there's a rapper named Youngboy Never Broke Again.
Wait. There's someone on here named Kid Trunks. Tell me, Kid Trunks, do you know how PEMDAS works?
How the fuck does Trunks not know that
order of operations, son?
You forget, like, lots of rappers do be like in DBZ.
I know, but it's like, okay, I know it should be bothered by, like, there's so many other things in Dragon Ball that should be bothering me, but the fact that Trunks needs fucking PEMDAS explained to him, and also, what the hell kind of school is he going to where he can afford to eat steak for lunch, the bastard? It's like, I didn't know Capsule Corp brought in that kind of cash.
It's my turn for Saturday.
I mean, if you want to, go ahead.
All right. Saturday, we got Mr. Straight Up himself, Travis Scott. You got Migos.
Raindrop. Drop top.
Where's Khalifa?
Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
Cardi B.
I make money move.
Gucci, man.
Okay.
Kevin Gates. Gucci gang. I can't do it.
Low and my bitch do cocaine.
How the fuck do you get successful from that song?
I don't know. You got Metro Boomin. All right.
Oh, shit. He actually is here. Goddamn.
Okay. Fetty Wap. I ain't heard his name in a while.
I'm like, hey, what's up? Hello.
Trippy Red. Okay. Chief Keef.
Okay.
Let's see. Little Zan.
Hey, you forgot about Rich the Kid.
Oh, shit. That's right. Oh, yeah. Rich the Kid.
Wait, Trick Daddy? Day. What the fuck?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Trick Daddy. Trick Daddy and Trina. A lot of names I don't recognize. I recognize Smokey Margiela as in that one rapper I heard, one person I heard on the ASAP Mob album last year.
Okay.
And that's all I recognize. I mean, I never heard of Big Baby Scumbag or Cuban Doll. Corner Boy Pete. Corner Boy Pete? What the? Why does it sound like a great value brand of Schoolboy Q?
Swag Hollywood. Famous Dex. Smoke Perp. Lil Baby. Princess Nokia. Maxo Cream. Oh, hey, I think they're featured on the Adult Swim singles later on. But, okay, Alex, do you want to cover a Sunday or should it be left to me?
Sure, I'll round it out. Like I said, the memes keep on coming because we have Future.
Percocet. Molly Percocet.
We have the Sauce King, Post Malone.
The Sauce.
We got the guy who was once on a Weezer track, Lil Wayne.
Insert quote from a Lil Wayne song here.
We got 21 Savage, of course.
21.
We got Rick Ross.
Maybach Music.
We got Juicy J.
I remember when he had dignity.
We got Mark's favorite guy, Lil Yachty. And rounding out, we have Action Bronson, Roy Woods.
He's cool.
Okay. Ski Mask the Slump God. Machine Gun Kelly, why are you still a thing? We got Ugly God, Fat Nick, Young Lean, Young Pinch, Gunna, Injury Reserve, Earth Gang, Rob Banks, Schoolie, Shoreline Mafia, O3 Greedo, Bali Baby, Cody Shane, Indigo Child Rick, and many more who I have never heard before.
Oh, but you skipped over Suicide Boys, Puya, who I still remember from that fucking Volumes record, you goddamn
Oh, yeah. Oh, that guy. Damn, I keep forgetting about that.
Cupcake.
Oh, yeah, see, Cupcake. Who's, I'll get the album. Well, I'll talk about her album later on.
And also, I recognize,
there's one name I recognize because he was on the, because the upcoming Black Panther soundtrack. Someone called SOBXRBE. He was on a track list. I'm like, who the fuck are they?
I don't. Oh, hey, I didn't notice. Cuz Lightyear is here.
Oh, yeah, that one guy that was.
He was. He toured with Run the Jewels last year.
Yeah.
He seemed like the guy that you just kind of bring up. It's like when your mom forces you to take along, like, your younger sibling. You're like, I don't want to. He's going to make me look lame. Except this is a case where you would be right, and he does make you look lame. Because obviously he had nothing on, you know, Gangsta Boo and RTJ. But, I'm wondering why they had to move it out of, like, the... You know, the outdoor stadium setting to somewhere else. I guess they don't want the stench of, like, Migos and Post escaping into the area and contaminating the local wildlife.
Probably.
I was going to say,
if anything, you know, maybe they'll just infect the Miami Dolphins for the next season.
Well, I mean, why does that matter? I mean, they're not going to win anyway, so what's the point? Okay, so moving on from that to our next story here. Now, I gotta ask, how many nails are there in the coffin that is physical media? Because I feel like at this point we've reached an excessive number of nails.
Yeah, there are quite a few.
Let's see. Yeah, there's some.
So, the most recent nail in the coffin that is physical music media, at least, you know, as far as CDs are concerned, apparently Target is demanding that music suppliers rework their agreement on how, you know, CD sales work. You know, normally how it works is, like, you know, they take in a preset amount of inventory, they agree to pay for whatever shipped within 60 days, you know, usual stuff, like they just buy the stock and then they sell it, then give that money to the label. Now, according to multiple sources, Target is giving an ultimatum to, like, music, I guess, suppliers that they want to switch to scanned-based trading. So, basically, what happens is, like, you know, they only pay, like, the retailers and, like, the suppliers based on whatever they sell, so they don't, like, you know, pre-pay for that shit, essentially. And they're kind of playing hardball on this shit. And no one really knows what they want to, do. According to the sources, like, there's a major sort of party here that's leading no, while two others are undecided. Now, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, since who the fuck even buys CDs at Target? Let alone CDs, period. But yeah, to make, like, things... Go ahead.
Yeah, like, don't Target usually, like, do they do some clean versions of that shit, or was that Walmart?
No, that's Walmart, but...
Oh.
Yeah.
I want to mention this. I go to Target often because I always get gift cards to go to Target. Why does Target still sell 90% DVDs? Like, who's buying DVDs in 2018? That's like buying VHS tapes in 2003.
I guess I'm old, I don't know. All those folks who've gone for the days of 2000 and whatever.
But, if you think that's bad... another similar music retailer, Best Buy, they've straight up admitted that they're like, removing music entirely. That they're pulling CDs from its stores by July 1st. It's like, man, when I had money, a lot of money for CDs back in the day, like, I would buy, like, Best Buy was one of my go-tos, along with, like, the FYE and shit, but, like, damn, that's almost kind of sad. I mean, they do say they're gonna continue to carry vinyl, for the next 2 years, and that they're merchandising it with turntables and shit, but still, man, Best Buy, no CDs. I suppose you should have seen this coming, though.
This has been an inevitability for a while, because the CD section just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and it didn't help that, I seem to recall they were doing a deal where if you bought any CD, you would get, like, 3 months or 6 months of Tidal for free, and I guess that didn't really work out very well.
I guess it didn't. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I know it was a thing either. I ain't been the best, but I don't
there
know.
There you go. Wow. There you go.
Yeah, we proved Alex's point exactly.
Yeah, we did.
But yeah, I guess Rippin' Ponies compact discs. I guess we're gonna have to go to the other places that sell the compact discs, like
Well, for me, I got a couple of good stores to go to in the city.
Like local record stores, or this one place I heard called Amazon that's run by filthy capitalist scum. You know, I had this image of my head of Jeff Bezos in the climax of Devilman. You know the scene. But now, moving on to news that's... You know, I gotta be honest, I have no fucking clue how I'm supposed to react to this. So, obviously the band AC/DC has been met with multiple setbacks. You know, members retiring, members dying, all that good shit. But in the meantime, they at the very least managed to replace Brian Johnson, currently in retirement, with Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses. You know, because I guess Axl Rose doesn't already have big enough pockets from the fucking millions and millions upon millions of dollars he's making with Guns N' Roses reunion shows. But according to news that's emerged, he's fucking apparently Axl, they're continuing with AC/DC is continuing with Axl Rose on vocals for damn near everything from touring and even the possibility of a new album.
You know, I really hope this turns out to be bullshit. But at the same time, I can't see why it would be bullshit. This is so crazy that it could happen. And there is no reason why it should happen.
Well, I mean, the AC/DC guys got to make their pesos or whatever the hell they use for money in Australia.
Well, I mean, okay, let's look at the lineup. Angus Young is still, obviously, a force. Brian Johnson is retired because he's going deaf. Malcolm Young is dead. Phil Rudd has some legal trouble over, you know, hitmen and some crap. This band is done. No matter what happens later on, this band is done. It's just going to be like an AC/DC cover band, you know?
Hey, man, this corpse, this band might be a corpse, but they got a goddamn shamble all the way to the end line. It's like the musical equivalent of Bleach.
Damn. Oh, that's depressing.
I can't. Who? How the fuck does that actress even look like Rukia anyway? God damn. But that's unrelated. So, okay, fine. I guess AC/DC can do whatever the hell they want. But you know, really, does Axl Rose need more money?
Clearly, he needs more money for whatever it is he spends his money on nowadays.
Anyway, let's move on to the last news topic of the week. More Grammy salt! That's right, the salt couldn't be contained in one episode. No, the salt must flow. Now, as previously mentioned, amongst all the other shit that went on that ceremony, from the bad comedy to the fucking overlong performances, and of course, should've gone to my boy Kendrick, but... The biggest thing was when Neil Portnow made some comments post-show, basically saying that women supposedly need to step up if they actually want to win more Grammys, even though, as we already pointed out, there were plenty of women nominated, and of the ones nominated, barely any of them won. In fact, many of which got snubbed for much, much more mediocre positions. Isn't that right, Ed Sheeran? But in these, obviously with such controversy, people have been calling for him to be fired, to step down from his job. And in a new statement, he says, basically, quote, "After hearing from my many friends and colleagues, I understand the hurt that my poor choice of words following last Sunday's Grammy telecast has caused. The Recording Academy is establishing an independent task force to review every aspect of what we do as an organization and identify where we could do more to overcome the explicit barriers and unconscious biases that impede female advancement in the music community." Well, hey buddy, here's a hint. I can tell you one of those unconscious biases, and that's you actually trying to help instigate a task force here.
People want to point to an easy target over this whole thing, I got one for you. Giving Ed Sheeran a Grammy when your other nominees were Kesha, Kelly Clarkson, Pink, and Lady Gaga.
Straight up.
Who is that?
It's like, dude, it's like, how, you know, he's this close to maybe having an actual epiphany, but the fact that he's obviously still on board as the leader. Hell, there's even been, like, as we said, there's this open letter floating around from prominent female music executives demanding that Portnow resigns. And again, you nominate people like Lady Gaga and SZA, you know, they step up. You shut them out of the awards. It's like, what the fuck more else do you want, buddy? Do they have to do your laundry for you? Fucking sack of shit.
They stepped up. You just said, y'all ain't shit, and then picked the other guy.
Literally. And pretty much fucking everyone roasting this motherfucker, from the likes of Haim, Charlie XCX, and Katy Perry. And I just want to point this out. We're looking at the article here on Pitchfork, and this picture of Lorde with Neil Portnow, you could just see the loathing in her face. It's like, if all these people weren't around, I would snap your neck right now.
I would choke you with my mind, you old motherfucker.
Yeah.
I would take them glasses and shove up your ass.
You want to know what happened to David Carradine? Well, I promise this isn't going to be pleasurable.
God, why would you go there?
I don't know. I'm just mad, okay? There's just something so self-serving and egotistical about this president guy trying to establish a task force to solve a problem that he himself is the cause of. It's like, this is the musical equivalent of when Amanda Waller got together the Suicide Squad and they had to fix a problem that was caused by the formation of the Suicide Squad. Seriously, I didn't know, like, David Goyer wrote the screenplay for this shit. God damn.
What? Well, if there's anything to be learned, well, I'll just take this lesson from last night's Super Bowl halftime show. You rip off Janet Jackson's top and show the world her breast, you will become a megastar, you will just tarnish and just step on print, and no one will do anything about it because, you know, I don't even know where I'm going with this. Fuck you, Justin. You suck.
Yes. Yes, he does. What the fuck even was that new album?
I listen to it yet. I don't think I want to.
I made that mistake already. You'll have to wait until the beginning of March to hear about that. But, yeah, if that gets out all the Grammy salt and all the news topics. So now let's just talk about some of the new album releases coming out the week of February 9th, 2018. Starting at the top, the latest from post-metalers The Atlas Moth with Coma Noir. There's the self-titled debut album from the Mastodon and Tool-featured supergroup Legend of the Seagull Men. The Metal Blade debut of Harm's Way with Posthuman. Hype. Every Third Thought, a new solo album from X-Files actor David Duchovny.
What?
What? What? He does albums?
This is apparently not his first record. This is a second, in fact.
Okay.
Yeah. The newest album from Dashboard Confessional with Crooked Shadows.
Is this a thing?
I said apparently. The same thing when I saw that MGMT had a new album out, Little Dark Age. Of course, the newest album from indie rockers Franz Ferdinand with Always Ascending. And last but definitely not least, of course, the Kendrick and Top Dog Entertainment produced soundtrack to Black Panther.
Yeah.
Yay.
That's going to be the hype one, kids. So now is the part where, of course, we clean house and get the fuck out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Same place as always, Aura of Azure, anywhere there is some kind of media that is meant to be social. You know, the usual.
Mark, what about you?
As usual, my type of media on that bird and... Yeah, that's it. And on my site, the Mind of Hybrid One at thatwordnetwordpress.com.
Cool. As for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and CuriousCat at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com. You know, if you have business inquiries and memes and shit. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just search Surreal Resolution. Subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're always notified when new episodes of the podcast go up. Of course, remember to follow us on Twitter at Surreal Rezo. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitch and all that. Visit us at SurrealResolution.com. And, of course, find the podcast on DecibelBoost.SurrealResolution.com. Listen to our past episodes and listen to our other podcasts, such as The Training Stage and Podcast ONA. Is there a new episode this weekend?
There will be, hopefully by tomorrow, because it came. We recorded it a little late. I haven't had time to finish it yet. So, hopefully, by the time this is up, that will be up. But, you know, just had to get through all the Super Bowl stuff before finishing this episode up.
True that.
Okay.
Let's see what else. Be sure to keep up with a lot of our ring content and stuff. I don't have anything to plug this week, but there will be the album roundup, you know, coming out. So if you want to hear us talk about some albums, stay tuned for that. Be sure to jump into our Discord so that way you can dank it up with the boys and, you know, shitpost Super Bowl memes. And, of course, shout-out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Thank you for joining us this week. Thank you for always listening. And until next time... Oh, hey, look at that. The new Cloverfield movie's finally out.